does he mean by dead men's bones?
What does it mean? Your identity is based on things you learn from dead men. You're still after the way of the world, and so inside you're full of dead men's bones.
So you've learned a lot from spiritually dead men in your life.
Hmm?
You've learned a lot, or you thought you learned from...
You've learned nothing. Right, because they valued the world system.
Right. That's dead churches too. The dead church.
But it's this whole idea. I mean, that's, you know, I used to say that you shouldn't put on your Sunday best, you should put on your Saturday night worst. Because God is only interested in the internal. He doesn't give a hoot about what you do outwardly. Let's go to Mark 7. Anyway, you can see that the woes are a little serious. Verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, these are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And when he entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning this parable. And he said unto them, "Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entering into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats?" And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." So the fruitlessness of trying to clean the outside or the appearance is just, it drives me nuts. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You mean like when people put on nice clothes?
They teach you to be a hypocrite in church. You don't go to church. You, as I said, you put on your Sunday best. They tell you to smile, so you turn to your brother and say you love him. It's all just external crap.
I used to think churches is a place where you go to see a fashion show.
Yeah. Anyhow. He's woeing to everything. Do you understand? That's what we started studying. Go back to Luke. Luke 6:24. "Woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation." And it's plosios. And it means wealthy or rich, but it also means rich in anything, rich in opinions, an abundance of opinions, abundance of stands, abundance of ways you think things are right. You haven't seen the emptiness and stupidity of all your opinions, So no matter what is done, you sell your birthright for that momentary feeling of being right in an argument or a discussion about X, Y, and Z. Woe unto you that are rich. You've got your consolation. What is the consolation of richness? A feeling of righteousness, of security. I know a whole lot about that feeling of richness. I had never even met anybody that was poor. Then I got put on the Warren Poverty Board of Directors. If I did meet anybody, I just ignored them. And I saw the stupidity of my life, and that was a big step on the way to the conversion experience. What?
I'm just saying.
Woe to you that are rich. Now, you got to hear this. Rich just simply means abundant in things. You can be poor as a church mouse and be so abundant in opinions of the way things should be that you make the Hunt family seem in poverty.
Yeah, it's all about acquisition and grasping rather than pouring out.
Rather than emptying. You can be so poor, you're poorer than the widow who's going to put her last two mites into the treasury in terms of money, but you have so many opinions from God's standpoint, you're rich and you've got your reward. And you haven't had the courage to test your opinions against the truth. You haven't had the courage to expand the ropes of your tent and make secure the tent pegs out to the edge of time and space to see if what you think is true or right can stand that test of eternity. It can't. Nothing can except Jesus Christ. But you still hold on to these feelings and emotions and opinions about politics and religion and how people should act and how should they behave. And that's why we have such a weird group here. So normally you go to the church of your choice. You go to church where there's people like you that have the same value systems. And so nobody challenges you. So you sit secure in your richness of opinions and stands and
ideas.
Let's look and see what James says about riches. Go to James 2. There. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. If there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves? And have become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. Now again, let's talk about richness here in this context. I want you all with all these grand political opinions to see what you're doing. You're in a sense making the people who have opinions that don't agree with you, they're outside the camp. Since Gary isn't here, I'll talk about Gary. I'd talk about him if he was here, but he had this huge opinion about that Arizona was right in how they treated immigrants. And I went ballistic right here. He was sitting right here, I was sitting right here. But the same is true with anybody that has a political opinion, positive or negative. We're simply supposed to pray for them in power, not ally ourselves with them. Do you understand? Because you're rich in those opinions and you despise the one you disagree with. Understand? What?
Yeah, we're both standing there holding on to something and you can never connect outside of yourself if you're in that position. And, you know, you're grasping and that's all you're doing. Because you're hanging on to that one thing.
Now let's look at James 5. Go to now, you rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last days, etc., etc. Now you understand, gold and silver isn't just the physicality of gold and silver. It's not just a metaphor for riches. It's a metaphor for your idolatry that causes you to have the opinions. Gold is the way you think things should be, and silver are acts of your own redemption. And so you're still rich. You might, as I said, you may have no money. You may be living on the dole, but you're rich in opinions and self-righteousness and ways of your own redemption. God has chosen the poor, but poor isn't, has nothing to do with money. Amen.
I've never seen that where it said, "Each, you know, burn your flesh like fire."
Right.
It's wild.
The only thing that your righteousness, your opinions about stuff have ever done is given you a feeling of aboveness. Man, I used to be full of these. I mean, I had an opinion about every political act. I had an opinion about everybody that didn't agree with me. And thank God the day I became a believer, that was dissolved.
Did it happen immediately?
Yes. And then it was tested immediately. Somebody wanted me to run for governor in Jesus' name. Anyhow, please, please, please have the courage to test your opinions against the truth. So you don't sit in riches and judgment of other people. So that you cannot minister to those that disagree with you because you've discarded them. All right, let's look at two in a good sense, and then we'll quit. Ephesians chapter 2.
Ephesians
Ephesians, it's Galatians, it's 1 and 2 Corinthians, then General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Well, I know, for future reference.
Okay.
Remember that.
Chapter what?
2. And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now that's not speaking metaphorically. You're dead. It's because sin is dead. All men died on the cross. But you he has made alive, quickened with his own life. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, that's what we're studying, rich, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And what is the good work? There's only good and bad, agathos and kakos. Good is that which is in conformity to the will of God. It's in conformity to preparing the bride. Bad is everything else. Amen? All right, one more. Revelation 2. To the church in Smyrna. Verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews or say they are Christians and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things, etc., etc. We are rich. We are more rich than you could ever dream of. We own all things. All things exist for our sake. Don't sell your birthright for some stupid opinion, some little idea you have about politics or sports or some other crap by which you automatically dismiss anybody that disagrees with you. Oh, you say you don't. Oh, I won't dismiss him. But your very act of your nature will dismiss him. Amen? Amen. Anybody else? John? You okay?
I agree with most of what you're saying.
Will you promise me you'll test your opinions against truth?
My opinions are worthless. I do agree with you. In spirit, I know what you're saying, and I agree with you. But I'm going to once again say to you that I believe that we have an accountability and a responsibility to speak against oppression and to speak against injustice. And sometimes that might might show itself as your definition of taking a stand, and I don't want to take a stand. I understand the evil of taking a stand, but I don't want to call that a stand.
Well, again, this is a knife edge that you have to walk.
Mm-hmm, I know.
But your tendency is to go over to the one side.
No.
Okay.
Your tendency is to go to the other side.
No. Yeah, if I paid attention to my mind, it would be. All right. No, I believe in the trickle-down. If I pay attention to my mind, I believe in the trickle-down theory of economics. If I get rich, everybody will get rich because it somehow trickles down.
Yeah.
That was my political belief system. And it's just as crappy now as it was then.
Yeah,
take it, big guy. And yours isn't any better.
Ryan certainly has lots of opinions.